Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, hello. It's Switchmas Eve. I knew you were going to ask me what, and I was trying to think of what to say, and then I remembered, oh, I was on Reddit all day. I'll say something ridiculous. Switchmas Eve.
And also joining us this week, we have a very special guest with us to talk all things Horizon Zero Dawn, Matt Borkum from Geeks of Steel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
I am very, very excited because I know I have been just absolutely loving Horizon Zero Dawn, and your Twitter feed has just been like screenshot after screenshot after screenshot after screenshot. So I am really excited to get really deep into this game with you without doing too many spoilers, because Ryan, as well as many of our listeners, I'm sure, have not played as much as we have. I know I have sunk about 12 hours into the game already. I was looking through the achievements today, and it was like, basic story achievements I had were like very rare on PlayStation, and I was like, oh damn, I've played this too much. So yeah, we're gonna dive into some Zero Dawn talk in a little bit, but first we're going to talk a little bit about Beholder, because we talked about that, I guess it was last week, and I told Ryan, Matt, if you're not aware, this is a little indie title that I found, cost me about $5 on Steam, and basically you're like the super creepy landlord that like puts like cameras into your tenants' apartments, and then you have to like report on them to the totalitarian state, and it's basically like a giant big puzzle game. So I told Ryan he had to play it because he really enjoyed Papers, Please, which is a similar kind of a theme. So Ryan, what did you think of Beholder?
So it starts off kind of slow, and I was like, oh no, this is kind of slow, but then it like starts to ramp up and it gets really good, and then all of a sudden you're dead or you're carted off and you're arrested and your family dies and it's terrible. I was doing a bit of research on the game. I found out that it was made in, I'll let you guys guess. Where do you think this game was made?
Russia.
Ukraine.
Okay, it was made in Russia. Now guess exactly where in Russia it was made, knowing like kind of where they send people that do bad things.
The Gulag.
So is the Gulag in Siberia? Because if it is, that's where they send them.
I probably.
Probably. It feels like it's cold enough up there that's where you would place the Gulag.
That would be a very prison-like place, Siberia.
Exactly. So I was reading on their website that they made, obviously, you know, if the developers are listening, which if you are, it's a great game. But also, we mean no offense. I was just kidding. It was made in Siberia, Russia, from what I was able to tell. And the game's really fantastic. The art style doesn't, just seeing screenshots doesn't do it justice. The intro cinematic to the game is just amazing. It's superb, and they bring that art style out again for the ending, at least the one ending that I saw. I got the terrible ending where you can't go into debt, evidently, and then like 2 hours into the game, they just start being like, hey, your kid didn't come to school because you refused to pay his bill, so guess what, you owe us $2,000. Oh, you don't have $2,000 because you just spent $10,000 to save your child,
to save your daughter. Yeah.
Guess what, you're going to prison. So the only way to survive in that game is to let your family rot, which
doesn't work, by the way.
It doesn't. Okay, well, no, new tactic.
That's what I did the first time. Is I was just like, I don't know how they expect me to have $25,000 so early on in the game, so I can't help either one of my children. So then both my children died, and then my wife died of grief, and then it was just me, and then I died, and I was like, oh, I'm bad at this game.
So at the beginning of the game, Matt, they give you this. They say basically to explain why your character is always awake. They say, oh, you got a special drug from the government so you can stay up all night and spy on your tenants. Why the heck didn't they give that same drug to your kids and your wife? They should be putting cameras up too, you know? I could be distracting people and be like, hey kid, go set up this camera and steal that guy's wallet.
You need accomplices, you know?
Exactly.
And somebody you can pin something on should the fuzz come down.
Yeah, if Jocelyn's playing like the kids are expendable, then you throw them under the bus. I feel like that's...
Man, what? You always make me sound so terrible where there's decisions that are out of my hands.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what kind of medicine this chick needs where it's like $10,000 for like a couple of pills. Like, it's a really well put together game, and it feels very much like Paper, Please, but it's not... It's not in the same, the gameplay, the gameplay loop isn't the exact same, but the feeling is certainly there. But I think it expands upon Papers, Please in a way that, that makes it more interesting. Like, there's more story, there's more dialogue between characters, and there's just more to do. And I actually started min-maxing it by, you know, oh, I've got enough public, you buy cameras with... influence, I think, not cash.
Yeah, basically like reputation. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'd like, okay, like this guy's...
Wait. The government makes you buy the cameras yourself?
But with your reputation.
So you do things for things in, for people in your building, and then they give you reputation as a reward, and they're like, oh, I like my landlord now. And you're like, sweet, I'm going to spy on you while you sleep. This is a great trade-off.
Yeah, it is really weird that you work for the government, but the government doesn't supply the tools you need to do your job. Typical government, right?
Yeah.
But I'm kidding. But with this game, I was starting to get into a loop of like, oh, she's downstairs talking to my wife. Good job, lady. I'm gonna go into their room and install cameras. And I'd like just. They weren't doing anything wrong. I was just putting cameras up just to see what, you know, whether
but
they were
you
doing.
You have to put the cameras up to know if they're doing something wrong.
Exactly. You are a good government worker. You get a Siberia sticker. Normal sticker, just colder. I don't know. It's just, you know, scratch and sniff maybe as well. But it's a really fun game for doing terrible things. I was going to say,
don't you feel weird saying that it's a really fun game and recommending it to other people?
A little bit, but like, I feel terrible right now. But you can, this smile is just, I've had a long day, so this is just plastered on by default. But I think with Beholder, it's an interesting title that you can get in, play, and you do have the option, like, as you go forward in the game, there are things that crop up that feel like you're doing something right. Similar to in Papers, Please, where someone will come across the border and say, hey, there's people behind me that don't have the right papers, but they need in because we're trying to change the government. We're trying to make this country better. So let us in and just take the slap on the wrist. You'll be fine. And there's stuff like that in Beholder that I've come across. And I do enjoy that bit of intrigue. So, you know, you start off doing some terrible things, but then you start to come across some people that you can actually help. And I didn't last long. I needed the money, so I'm just like, yeah, if you're going to pay me, come on in. I don't care. But evidently there was this, you know, I can't help both my daughter and my son. One of them, I tried to send my son to the mine, and that didn't even work. He went to the mine to work, but I still got billed for his tuition. Like, what was that kid doing? Evidently he wasn't going to class, and he wasn't going to the mine either, or else he would have been able to pay his own tuition. This is what it's going to be like when my kid grows up. Like, go to the mine so you can pay your tuition. Yes, Dad. I don't think we have mines here. But, hey.
But overall, so Beholder, you would recommend it like I would?
Yeah, I would recommend it. And right now, if you go pick it up on Steam, it's part of a bundle with This War of Mine and another game that I have not played called Orwell. And it's like a $20 bundle, so you're spending like an extra, like, I don't know, $10. And you'll get more games like that, games that are, you know, have you doing terrible things, but kind of fun in a micromanagey kind of way. And Orwell is kind of like Beholder, and I'm going to try to play it before our next show. It's kind of Beholder, but on a larger scale, where you're basically working for a company that monitors social media and does reports on people. That one. It sounds really interesting. It looks more of like a browser type game, so it's a little less expensive than Beholder. It's not quite as artsied up. It's not quite as designed as well as Beholder, but it's still an interesting concept nonetheless. So yeah, I recommend it. Go check it out on Steam. I think the bundle is still around for the foreseeable future. But yeah, it's a good game. Very good.
So actually, this is a great segue between talking about this and talking about our pre-order woes, because there's actually a reason why we need things to play for next week's show, because we've had some issues with Nintendo pre-orders. So I know my pre-order woes come from Best Buy, and they can just, oh God, I'm so mad at them right now. They are the absolute worst. I'm never pre-ordering anything Nintendo or anything from them ever again. Oh, I'm so frustrated. Amazon has been okay. Amazon is guaranteed I will get Zelda tomorrow, so I can sit and look at the very pretty box.
That sounds, you know, Best Buy is this weird company that I just don't understand how they still do things. Like, you've got one.
No one does.
You got this one job, and it's to deliver stuff when it comes out in a timely fashion. And with the Nintendo Switch, it's obviously a hot item. And even with Amazon, I basically hovered around the Amiibo Canada subreddit, which is one I do a lot. And they basically talked all day, commented on one post about how still don't have it. Amazon wasn't giving a proper sort of delivery timeline until probably shortly after noon today. So, like, it's just, I don't know. This is why I went even digital then, last generation. Like, it's just so much easier.
Yeah, I don't normally buy things, like physical things. Normally, mm-hmm. I just pre-order my stuff digitally and download them, and I'm fine. But obviously, you can't digitally download a console.
Or Amiibos. So,
I think the last thing I actually ordered, like, a physical copy of would have been Mass Effect 3. And I ordered that through Best Buy, and granted, it was years ago, and it was obviously just a game. It wasn't anything bigger than that. But mm-hmm. they got it to me launch day. So I was like, sweet, Best Buy gets things to you on launch day. Nope.
It's gonna be so tight. Yeah,
is this related at all to like just supply issues that Nintendo may be having, like just getting these boxes out to people, or what is this at this point?
I have no idea, because I've heard from other people, because obviously I've been tweeting this out because I was really pissed off. And so I've been tweeting this out, and apparently GameStop is guaranteeing delivery tomorrow by 5, so GameStop must have actual physical Switches ready to go. But for some reason, and Ryan, you ordered your Switch through Best Buy too, right?
Yeah, I did. And I have a tracking number. Originally, it was saying it was going to come by March. It still says free delivery as early as March 8th, which is not the 3rd. Best Buy, thank you. but I do have a tracking number, which leads to we don't have tracking results for this right now. I find Best Buy's tracking results don't normally update until you have the package in your hand. And it's like, yes, I know it was delivered. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Best Buy.
But Amazon is just, I wanted to pre-order, and this is going to sound like just a lot of like, I wanted to pre-order. But I did want to pre-order at Amazon because I know their track record for shipping. And with Prime, basically, like, I can throw an extra $4 just to ensure it's going to be there, because I don't know, when you just throw that extra couple toonies in the pocket of good old Amazon, good old Bezos, he's just like, boom, let's get it out there. I'm like 45 minutes to an hour away from Toronto, so it's not hard to get stuff on release day from Amazon. But I find Best Buy is, they haven't done the release day shipment in a long time for me. It's always come a couple days or the week after. NES Classic, when they shipped that, I got it the next week, as opposed to on the launch day.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to get my NES Classic, so
yeah.
Also from Best Buy?
Just from anywhere at this point.
Without lining up, probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really actually want to like physically go somewhere and stand in line to wait for anything. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's way old school, and no one should.
I want to click on a little button on my computer and have it send to me, but nobody has them. Nobody has them.
Yeah, Ryan, so you should not be complaining.
No, I'm not complaining about the NES Classic. I quite enjoy it. But I'm just talking about just in terms of like pre-ordering. Like, I was hesitant to pre-order the system online just because I want it day one. Like, with games, I'm like, yeah, you know, I take it or leave it. I can play it the day later or the next week. It's not a big deal. But when it comes to a system that we've been waiting, gosh, when was the last good Wii U game? I don't know, 2 years, let's say. Some of us have been waiting longer. Some of us have been waiting since the last Zelda game. And it's just that, this is going to sound silly and first world problem, but a weekend where everybody else is enjoying it and we're not is kind of a bummer, considering, you know, I was up at I don't know what time to pre-order this thing. But I don't know. I was in store a couple times doing some shopping, and I had a chance to pre-order it in store, and I just never did. I just figured, oh, I already got mine at Best Buy, it's all good. But yeah, I just haven't had great experiences with Best. Now, tomorrow, I'm pretty confident that my package will be here, and even if it isn't, you know, like I might buy something else.
Yeah, exactly, which is a great segue into Horizon Zero Dawn, because, dude, you need to buy this game.
I know. Ryan knows this, and past Ryan knows this, and probably future Ryan knows this, but so the goal of this show is basically, in the next 40 minutes, you two have 40 minutes to convince me to buy it before the show ends. It's not going to be hard.
I don't think it's going to take that long, and I don't think it's going to be hard, because you're just such a pushover anyways.
But... No, I just really like great games, but I'm also a pushover, a little bit of a pushover when it comes to
this. This is like drugs, man. This stuff sells itself. I don't, like, what do you want me to say? It's Horizon Zero Dawn.
You could just say, exactly. Check my Twitter, look at my amazing PS4 Pro captures. I'd be interested to see hear about the differences. Now, Jocelyn, you've looked at Matt's Twitter, obviously. with you contacted him probably through Twitter to be on the show tonight. I'm curious, you're seeing his screenshots that have been captured on a PS4 Pro. Are you seeing much of a difference there in terms of what you're seeing?
I think so. I mean, it looks a little bit, and I'm just going to pull it up right now just so I don't misspeak. But I'm looking at them, and they look a little bit like richer almost. Like, they're denser, there's more to them, I guess, than the stuff that I'm seeing. Like, particularly the one that from a couple days ago with the long neck that it's such a great screenshot, and it looks like it has so much more color to it. Like, mine is very kind of like almost like gray, like a gray wash over top of it compared to yours. And same with your sky, like the sky looks so blue, and I feel like my colors just aren't as rich as, but I mean, that could be a TV thing, but I think it's a PlayStation thing.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I've actually done a lot of like watching videos and stuff, because I bought my PlayStation 4 Pro for a number of reasons. I got a PSVR, and it's a world of difference between the PlayStation and the PlayStation 4 Pro when you have VR. But like one of like the major reasons why I bought the PlayStation 4 Pro is because of Horizon Zero Dawn. I wanted to have the absolute best experience possible with that game. And so I get it and put it in. I'm playing it. It looks gorgeous. But I was curious, what does it look like on a regular PlayStation? I didn't want to like try to pull out my old PlayStation and look at it that way. So I was just looking online on YouTube, and it seems like there's actually not a lot of difference between the two. better edges on things. Possibly a little bit richer color. But honestly, like that's really about it. I mean, the jump from PlayStation to PlayStation Pro is just, it's very, very subtle, which is a little disappointing considering like
that's
I spent all this money on this new system. Yeah, for PlayStation VR, but I haven't touched that thing in months. Like for me, it was Horizon, and it's I'm also like, I'm seeing differences between my television and the screenshots I'm posting online. I'm purposely trying not to add effects to them. Like, you can add all sorts of color effects, you know, you can, much like your Instagram account, essentially, you can add filters, over the top.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to do that because this game is so, so beautiful. I just want to show it in its pure form as much as possible. Yeah, I'm adding a little depth of field here, just make the characters pop a little bit on a couple of shots, or maybe a slight bit of vignetting, just because I love vignetting. I can't get away from it. And I'm an artist. I got to put my own little twist.
I was going to say, if you guys can't tell, Matt is actually an artist. So art direction of this game is going to be his big geek out point.
But it is such a gorgeous game, like just out of the box, beautiful. You know, whether you have a PlayStation 4 Pro or a regular PlayStation, I think you're going to have just an amazing experience with this game. I'm trying to decide if this is the prettiest game that's ever come out on PlayStation 4. I'm desperately in love with Witcher 3. It is, at this point, my favorite game. Granted, I haven't finished Horizon Zero Dawn, so it may change. But Witcher 3 has a very natural, realistic look and feel that I find just absolutely breathtaking. This one is a bit of a heightened reality. Some of the way that like the landscape is laid out and some of the choices they make in the texturing and some of the way that things are presented to you as the viewer is a little bit heightened. It feels, you know, stylized and a little more video gamey in a certain way. But it's just as beautiful as anything The Witcher is able to provide. And for me, you know, I'm a graphics whore. I love with a game like this, I spend most of my time just kind of like walking around looking at things, you know, trying to discover, you know, like, oh, I love how they did the pebbles on the ground and the way it transitions from the edge of the road into the grass is beautiful. And, you know, I'm that guy.
You are so granular. Oh, my God. I'm like, woo, look at the pretty mountains.
Yeah. So
very macro versus micro.
And what I'm finding with this game, and I haven't done with any other game, is take these kind of screenshots. I plan on for, like, basically I'm just dedicating my Twitter stream for, like, the next week to nothing but screenshots. Perfect. Like, you're just going to get just a ton from me. I'm trying to keep them as story neutral as possible and spoiler free as possible. But I've been spending a lot of time just, like, pausing the frame, you know, and angling around trying to get the perfect angle on things and so it's been pretty awesome.
Cool. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned The Witcher, because I saw a bit of back and forth on Twitter with The Witcher devs, who were kind of congratulating Guerrilla on releasing this game. And I think a lot of games coming out this year, this week, for example, have really and truthfully looked at The Witcher and said, ooh, okay, that's a great game. Let's look at that for inspiration. I mean, there are interviews out there where, you know, Anuma is saying that, yeah, The Witcher 3 played a big part in what eventually became Breath of the Wild. Skyrim did as well, but it's nice to see, you know, European developers like Guerrilla and Western developers like BioWare and also Japanese developers like Nintendo looking at The Witcher that started off as this franchise from a small team, and CD Projekt has now ballooned. And it's just really cool to see that franchise sort of spreading to other games. And Horizon Zero Dawn, like, this is going to be a tough one for me because, again, I haven't played it. And I stopped watching trailers after the first reveal because I'm like,
okay, yeah,
this
me
looks,
too.
This looks yeah, like my here. Kind of game. And I love the mystery of the post-apocalyptic world. I think that's a fantastic setting for a game. Robot dinosaurs, I'm all in, except unless it's Transformers, which I'm out. But it looks really good, and I'm glad to hear that it feels really good and plays really good. How do you guys find the combat, the gameplay loop that it throws you into? Is that satisfying, like the sort of moment to moment gameplay in there? Because that's a big part of a big open world game is being satisfied with those gameplay loops that they're throwing at you.
Well, I know personally, I love it. I actually, that was one of the two things. First of all, when I texted Matt yesterday, my boyfriend Matt yesterday, he was like, oh yeah, so how's your game going? And I was like, oh, it's great. I love the art. It's super pretty. And also I love the combat because I can do it. it's complicated enough that I don't get bored, but at the same time, it's not so complicated that I'm just like, how the hell am I ever going to beat any of these characters? And there's lots of different ways that you can do stuff. Like, it has a stealth element, very Lara Croft Tomb Raider-y, where, you know, you can sneak through the grass and then, you know, like, one-shot stealth kill things, or, you know, do massive amounts of damage to some of the bigger stuff. But then there's also, like, you can use your, like, spear for melee combat, your bow, and also, like, your, and I think you probably get more weapons over time, but there's also, like, a trap launcher thing that you have to, like, launch both sides of a tripwire sort of thing. So, and you can use all of those at the same time in the same encounter. So it's like the switching between weapons is fairly seamless, and it's very, very easy to kind of navigate all of that while you're moving around in the area and kind of taking on your enemy. So it's a lot of, like, or at least the way I've been playing is kind of like movement and positioning based in order to take advantage of all of your different weapons. But I have been absolutely loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the kind of video gamer where I don't generally like combat so much. I like, and when I do get into combat with something, I want it to be fairly simple and straightforward.
Yeah.
Because game mechanics is something that, like, you know, I picked up one of the Dark Souls games one time, and I was like, okay, I understand why people like this, but I am not that guy. Like,
yes.
We are the same kind of gamers.
You're among good company.
If I can't kill it quickly and get back to looking at the rocks on the side of the road, like, I don't want anything to do with it, you know? And this game I've actually found to be pretty difficult in some ways. I've actually had to push the difficulty setting down to easy because in order to have like a successful encounter, a lot of times you have to sort of think it through.
Yes.
You know, you sneak up on a situation. You have to, you just count the enemies and the enemy types, and you decide, okay, I'm going to set a trap here. I'm going to put a tripwire over here, and I'm going to calm my direction. And then hopefully this first guy hits this trap and the second guy hits this tripwire. And I hope that nothing else bad happens. Or I have to restart the whole thing all over again. And I dislike restarting all over again. That's my biggest thing with video games. It just takes me out of this experience. And it's like, ah, you know, it's just frustrating to me. I just want to enjoy, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time to play games, but when I do play, I want to enjoy my time with it. So I found this game to be a little bit difficult, but I will say that, the variety of ways that you can approach an encounter, just like what Jocelyn was saying, is what I find really fascinating and interesting. And I'm starting to get the hang of assessing a situation and then choosing a direction to go in order to find success, as opposed to just running in guns blazing. Because if you run in guns blazing, you're generally going to end up having a bad time.
Yep.
And I would find it would do that. I would run in. I'm like, shooting arrows. Oh my gosh, I'm out of arrows. I'm trying to like recraft arrows.
Yeah, because you can craft on the go too.
Yeah, I'm accidentally like choosing the wrong weapon. Suddenly I'm shooting like stuff in weird directions, and I'm just dying because I'm being surrounded by bad guys. But then I just go through the same encounter this time. And it's like, this time I'm just using this weapon, and I'm going to lay this trap, and then boom, it's simple. And it just feels very satisfying to like win an encounter in a way that like, oh, I planned for this to happen. So I'm finding that to be really, really cool. And with Witcher 3, I found a lot of the encounters to be tedious. Just like, oh, another one of these, more drowners. All right, hold on, slice, dead. Yeah. But with this, you know, and I would eventually get to the point where it's like, I don't even want, I'm just like just avoiding drowners. I don't want to deal with them right now. With this, it's much more like, I can't find a way to get around them, so I'm gonna have to get through them.
Yeah.
And that is that sort of like slowing it down in that way and sort of taking your time and assessing the situation and finding the right solution to get through the situation. I think that's a lot of fun. So I'm really enjoying the combat. So if you're like someone who really likes like great combat mechanics, I think this is a great game for you.
Okay. It is. It's very much like each encounter is its own little kind of puzzle. And like Matt mentioned, there are multiple different types of robots that usually you're facing. In the very, very beginning of the game, usually you just get one type, but it very quickly gets more complex as you go. And so I've really enjoyed kind of trying to figure that out and stealthing as much as I possibly can to decrease the numbers and make it more manageable and doing all kinds of things like that. And don't feel bad about putting it down to easy, because that is 100% the way I've decided I'm just playing video games from now on, because that's how I'm going to fit a, you know, like 25 to 30 hour game into my actual playable time. It's like, if a game is supposed to take 20 hours and then you add difficult combat on top of that, I'm just never going to get to the end. So
I have enough challenge in my life already. I don't need, I'm a single parent. I don't need this on top of it. You know what I mean?
That's a good way of putting it. I as we begin to, or should have been, maturing as gamers, I'll say, you come at a crossroads where, like this week, you have both Horizon Zero Dawn and Breath of the Wild coming out. You want to play both games. Both are 30 plus hour games. If you're just doing the main quest, you have to kind of make a call on how you're going to do that. And switching it down to easy, like, should not be seen as anything. It's just, I want to play this game. I want to enjoy it for what it is. And if combat isn't your jam or that specific type of combat, like, I could totally see in The Witcher just having to be like, all right, I don't want to deal with you anymore. I'm just going to switch it down to easy. And it was very, you know, modular like that, where you could do that on the fly. The combat sounds a lot like a mixture of The Last of Us. Like, The Last of Us was very much like a combat sort of tactic mode, where you'd see, okay, I can see the enemies I'm dealing with. I'm going to take this guy out with my bow. I'm going to take this guy out by, you know, strangling him in a bush and stuff like that. And that's pretty much how I played that game. But Horizon Zero Dawn sounds like there's more tactics to it, as opposed to other shooters that we've played recently, where you just, you're running, you know, you're Arnold Schwarzenegger, spray and pray.
You can't spray and pray.
Okay, perfect.
you'll have a bad time.
That sounds...
Even on easy, you'll have a bad time. They call friends spray and pray.
It sounds like the combat is right up my alley as well. So far we're doing really good. And I don't know if you guys noticed, the main character is played by Chloe from Life is Strange. If you played Life is Strange, you might be recognizing that main character's voice. Yeah.
That is so funny, because I literally said to Matt, I was like, this is probably the first main character who has been female in a video game, aside from Commander Shepard, who I haven't wanted to just strangle because she's so freaking annoying. I don't know what it is.
You don't like her, like, or you do like her?
No, I do like her.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she's the first one in a very long time. Any other video game I've played in the last few years that has, like, a main female character, I found them, like, annoying and whiny, and like, I haven't been able to spend a lot of time in games with characters like that, and I don't know why they've been writing female characters like that, but I haven't had a lot of time for them.
So
but
how do you feel about, like, Lara Croft then, or the from the new Tomb Raider franchise?
She was okay. She was meh.
She's better in Rise of the Tomb Raider. But... oh, you.
Yeah, she's better. Yeah, she's better in Rise of the Tomb Raider than what was the first one?
Tomb Raider.
Just Tomb Raider? I couldn't remember if it had a fancy subtitle. But yeah, she gets a little bit better as the franchise goes on. But I don't have a lot of time for the woe is me, like, boo-hoo characters.
She's more, she's sort of built a thick skin in Rise of the Tomb Raider. And she's, as opposed to the first one where she's kind of, she's like, oh, my dad, he's dead. Now I want to do what he does. But, you know, my tank top is put on weirdly. But in the second game, they fix that. Great. So I'm glad to hear that you enjoy it, because I remember in Life is Strange, we hated her.
Yeah, I did not like Chloe.
Spoiler alert, like, when Chloe. She you couldn't fix it, you were like, perfect. I'm glad that it ended that way. So that brings me into the story, though. So as few spoilers as possible, obviously we know it's post-apocalyptic world, which is the world went to shit, and then it basically reset, and now we're in this weird technical stone age. Right. I don't know much about the story. I'd probably say I don't know anything about the story. I know the setting, but is the story intriguing? Like, is it hooking you guys?
Well, I don't know much about the story either. I mean, I've played a lot, but again, I've been staring at the side of the road the entire time. I don't know, Jocelyn, I don't know how far you are, but I'm trying to stay vague. I just finished my first cauldron. Have you gotten that far yet?
So that is actually something I accidentally skipped, because I thought I had done all of the little side quests in a certain area, and I had picked up that side quest, but you get, like, I think 5 of them at one time at that particular moment. And I thought I'd done all of them, and then I opened up kind of the next area, like the next thing. And so then I went and did the next thing, and then I was like, the game keeps yelling at me every time I see a robot that I need to do something, and I can't figure out what that something is. And then, so last night, after literally 12 hours of playing, I was like, I'm not going to be able to sleep. So I actually Googled it. I was like, how do I do this thing that the game keeps yelling at me and expecting me to know? And then, yeah, there was like, oh, well, do the cauldrons. And I was like, ah, damn it, I totally missed that side quest. But it was also like 4 a.m. when I picked up all those side quests, so I wasn't quite in. I was tired.
So I don't know much about the story yet. I've played quite a bit, but I've been messing around a whole lot, like I tend to do. But for me the setting of it is so special. This is weird, but I had, like, when I was younger, and I was, like, really into Star Wars, and I was like, oh, George Lucas is the man, because he created this whole world that was his own. I was like, I'm going to create my own world. And my own world was a future post-apocalyptic world where humans have become essentially a primitive tribe, you know, type people, and the world was taken over by giant robot dinosaurs. That was, this was, like, folks, this was like 15 years ago, so maybe even
so
longer.
So basically, over a drink about 5 or 6 years ago, you told this idea to someone, and they went, "That make a great video game."
Oh,
and
yeah, that sounds really good. I don't know. I think Gorilla is Germany, so no
the only
London.
Difference is, yeah, exactly. The only difference is, in my version of the world, like the rich people were able to escape onto a space station where they lived in harmony, while everyone sort of went to hell down on Earth. So I had a little bit of the Elysium. Thing kind of mixed in there as well. But I had this idea, and that eventually turned into what was a webcomic I had a few years back. But it's got that. It's got anytime I can play as like a hot redhead in a game, I always do. I don't know why, but like even in like MMOs, like I'm creating like a hot redhead ranger or a hunter, sure, or whatever MMO I'm playing. If I can be a hot redhead with a bow, I'm going to do it. So it's got that. It's like this open world thing for me to explore and get lost in. It's got like everything that I love in video gaming all in one thing. So like the story is almost like secondary to just
the world itself.
And right, there are a couple of things that have happened in early on, as far as early on as I am. There's a few things that have happened that made me go, "Ooh, I'm intrigued. I want to know more about that. Like, where is this going? This is a twist I wasn't quite expecting. What does this mean?" And from what I've tried to stay as far away from spoilers as possible, but what I've gleaned is that that sort of like curiosity never leaves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not that you ever get like the answer and it's like boom, like more game after that. You know, blah blah blah. But you're always like getting like maybe Jocelyn can say this better than me, but you're getting like little clues along the way that like really help sort of lead you on.
It does seem very much like that, like a breadcrumb type of an experience. It's like you're told at the beginning, you know, that like this person has the answer in like all caps, right? And then so you're like, okay, I need to go find that person and do that thing and get that answer. And then you get there and she gives you the answer, but it's not really the end of the story or the answer you were expecting or, you know, anything that would even remotely be like a kind of ending to any kind of a story. And it feels like that with all of the little kind of side stories and stuff that seem to come up as you're playing through, you never really get a full answer. It's like something happened and we don't know what it is because a very significant portion of time has passed since the apocalypse. Nobody actually really knows. And so you're getting like little bits and pieces from everybody's different perspectives about, you know, like what's going on and what happened and, you know, how you're supposed to deal with that. And then you're trying to then get your picture of the world and figure out what you're supposed to do without full and complete information. It almost seems like there is no full and complete answers everything story, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, in a world where you're so far removed from our present day, and I think the game is set on our Earth. I don't know if it's a spoiler or not, but before the game was even released, months before it was released, people were looking at landmarks that they were showing in game and comparing them to landmarks in the real world. I think they placed it around... now I can't remember whether it was.
Well, don't tell me because that's.
Oh, you don't know? Okay, I won't
know
say
any of this stuff yet.
Okay, I'm gonna stop there. I probably would have got it wrong anyways, but I'm gonna stop there. So yes, that would have been a spoiler, and I would have felt bad because you're probably still trying to piece that together.
Yeah, on the loading screen in the game, they do say that it is Earth in the future. So
okay,
yeah.
So I will go that far.
All I know at this point.
But okay, so I'll stay away from that. But I'll go back to what you guys said about Jocelyn saying that she enjoyed the female character. She's not a character that you find to be whiny and just a strong female character. And, you know, Matt, you're saying, you know, it's always nice to play as a hot redhead. I will look at...
Like, listen.
No. I'm making...
Don't be chauvinistic or anything. It's just like...
What's your go-to aesthetic? There's something
I'm making a point here that supports both of you. I think that it's fantastic that we're getting games that star female characters. Because yes. I, for one, when I play video games... I don't know. Sometimes I want to play as a female character. I want to play something different. Do you know how many games I've played where the main character is a shaved head white guy? Like, you've got two of them on this show. You do not need more in your games. I think that it's just fantastic when they mix things up. And when they do it properly and not just, you know, because they want to be different. Like the two examples you gave, like this game and Mass Effect, I think those are great examples of games that create a character that gives people choice. If you want to play as a female character, or you want to play as a male character, that's amazing. And they're both solid characters. And in this, they've basically chosen to be like, no, our main character is a female, and people shouldn't even need to address it. They should just say like, perfect. I don't think I saw any people saying like, ooh, I wanted to play as a male in this game. What's with this?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, and on top of that, you know, she's not wearing like sexy revealing clothing. She didn't have the boob armor or any of that kind of stuff going on. You know, she's fully clothed like
she's
everyone
up
else.
She's up. Cold. She's wearing
cold,
fur.
It's snowing. Exactly.
Yeah. Robots.
So
know.
They're not like, they're not over sexualizing the character, or they're not making a big deal about the fact that she's female or anything like this. You know what I mean? It's just,
she just kind of,
yeah. Yeah, she just is, and she's a powerful character, and that's awesome that we are getting those. And it's sad that has to be a point of conversation in this day and age. Yeah. But you know, it's one of those things you have to sort of like acknowledge when somebody does something right and does it well. Yes. And that's what I really love about this.
That's really what I think is I've noticed the most about this story is that I am very much a proponent for, like, for instance, don't give me a female Link. Link is a male character, and I'm okay with that. Same as, you know, like, I don't need always these kind of shoehorned in female versions of stuff. Like, I want very strong female stories to be told because it's a story about a chick, not because it was a story about a dude, but then everyone complained, so then we made her a chick. You know, like, I want a story about a person, and if that person happens to be a female character, huzzah. If it's a male character, that's cool too. There are both kinds in this world, so let's just have stories about both. And I think that they really did that right in this one, in the way that like they don't hide the fact that she's a girl, but at the same time they don't make a big deal about it. It's just like she is who she is and this is her story, and I think that's they did it right. Very similar to, I think Tomb Raider did a very good job of this too, where, you know, like she just is who she is, this is what's going on, and we're gonna go from there. And so I have very much enjoyed it because they're not making a big deal about it.
Yeah, the second Tomb Raider you know, looked at the criticisms of the first just Tomb Raider. Like in Tomb Raider, they had a very strong they had a female character that you were playing as, but then every chance they got, the camera would just go whoop as you were like transitioning between tight spaces, and it's just like, this is really awkward. And then the first cinematic you get is just like, oh, I'm falling to my death, but there's my cleavage. And it's just, it's not necessary. And I'm really glad to hear that Horizon Zero Dawn isn't doing stuff like that, because I think we've finally come to a point where great games are celebrated and not being like, ah, this is a great game, except for, you know, the little part where they're just a little bit sexist, you know? So it's great that...
Zero cleavage in Horizon Zero.
Perfect. And that's good, because like you said, it looks cold. There might be...
As far as I know.
Yeah, as far as you guys know. And maybe when we do our full-on spoiler show, we'll have a segment where it's like, did they have cleavage? Yay or nay? Not that it's going to impact the game, but we want to follow up on this. So that brings me to the next point. Obviously, art is a big part of this game. I'm looking at the two versions that are available to purchase online. The digital deluxe edition comes with an art book. Is that something that do you feel like the art is fantastic? Is that something I should be looking at?
I haven't actually, I mean, I don't, is it a PDF? I don't know where to, I haven't actually looked at it.
Oh, it's a PDF. Yeah, probably.
I don't know where to access that on my PS4, but I did buy a hardcover version of the art book.
Cool.
Because I was in love with, I'm in love with the concept, and I want to see, and I love concept art and all that kind of stuff anyway. So I wanted to see what was there. At least the hardcover version is mostly concept art and not a whole lot of like, you know, game assets or anything like that in there. And it looks to be also like mostly pretty finished designs. Like they didn't put, which is kind of a shame. I love seeing like the early stuff. I love to see how the characters evolved into what they would eventually become, you know? Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of this is mostly like, we got pretty damn good idea what she looks like at this point. We now know it's a girl, right? We weren't choosing between a bunch of different designs at first. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the digital version looks like. There are, the digital deluxe version comes with a couple of extra outfits, which look stupid. And there's one, if there's one thing.
Okay, you saved me 10 bucks. Perfect.
I will wear an inferior outfit for like half a game if it's going to look better than any of the better versions of the outfits with the higher stats. If those things look dumb, I'm not going to wear them.
You know what I mean? I am the exact same way. I totally went through and picked the outfit that I wanted to be wearing, and I haven't changed it since I met the first dude who gave me a choice of outfits in the very first town. I'm just like, oh, I like this one best. Done.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to be a hot redhead running around in the wilds of the future just wearing anything, you know?
there are mecha dinosaurs to impress.
That's right.
That's a good, you bring up dinosaurs, because from what I remember of the original reveal, the designs on those animals just look amazing. And does that just extend to everything that they put on screen with the monsters? Is it all dinosaur robots that you're fighting, like animal robots, or?
They're actually mostly, there are a couple that are kind of reminiscent of, like, I would say almost like a raptor sort of a design, but then there's much more, like, one of them looks kind of more like a horse, one of them is very, saber-toothed tiger-y, like, they're more beastly than they are straight-up dinosaur. I mean, it sounds so much cooler to call them robot dinosaurs, but really and truly, they're like robot beasts, and they kind of pull from a whole bunch of different kinds of animals. But the designs, I think, at least from a non-artist point of view, the designs are really freaking cool. Especially, I think, my favorite one that I've come across so far are the grazers. I don't, Matt, have you seen any of those ones yet?
I believe so, yeah. They with long, thin horns. Is that the ones I'm thinking of?
Those are the ones I'm thinking of, like, kind of like bend over and then like essentially like churn up the earth. And then they're standing up, they kind of look like moose, but then they go down, and those are actually like their antlers are like gears that grind up to, I don't know, get whatever rocks or minerals or whatever. They're kind of like mining. Mining beasts, I guess, because each of the beasts seems to have their own kind of purpose in the world, which makes sense. If you're a race of machines, you want, you know, machines that do work, so why wouldn't each machine then have a job? So they're it's really great design, and I think that one's probably my favorite one, because you see them standing there and you're like, oh, they're just a moose, oh my god, what's he doing with his face, oh my god.
Yeah, they feel a little over designed to me. There's a little too much, like, too many bleeps and blobs and stuff going on. I don't know, like little greebly bits going on in them for my personal taste. But what I do find really awesome about the design overall in every aspect of this game is how they've worked like game mechanics that we've all come to know and love or loathe into the design of the world. So, for example, the reason why the dinosaurs have like these glass glowy bits hanging off of them is, you know, we all know that, like, you shoot the bright spot, you know, whatever the shiny thing is on the creature, that's the thing you shoot because that's its weak spot, right? Well, they work that into the actual design of these robot dinosaurs. They have these sort of like glass liquid filled pouches that explode, like
canisters
that explode when they're broken. And, you know, they work that into design of the robot itself. So you have this classic game mechanic that just kind of gets built into the design. And even things like, well, okay, so it's a prehistoric type civilization, but she has like, you have like a HUD that you're dealing with. How do you handle the issue of a just a video game HUD, and the way they build this idea of a HUD into the mechanics of the game itself is really brilliant as well. So I really love it when the artists and the designers who create these games like take the time to consider all that stuff in the design itself, as well as just like the little details to help make it feel like a real world. You know, you don't just have a table; you have a table with food on it. And then, what type of food is it that you're putting on the table? And do you make this food look like it's been sitting out for a while, or is this fresh food? You know, like, you just kind of keep adding more and more layers of detail on to into these worlds, and so it takes more time to do, yes, but it feels more realistic, more lived in, and therefore I as a gamer can really kind of insert myself into that world a lot easier.
Okay.
Yeah, I related to a lot of the characters a lot more, I think, because of that level of art direction, because there were times in the game, and I am notorious for this, where I just want to, like, main quest, like, blinders on, get that done. And I don't usually like to do a lot of side quests because I generally feel like the world is ending, but I'm collecting chickens. This doesn't right. make any sense.
Yeah, so, Witcher 3 had that problem. Yeah. Like, big time.
And I feel like because of a lot of the choices that they've made with both storytelling and with art design, I don't have that problem in this game. Like, I'm actively seeking side quests because I want to help people because they feel like they have, like, real people with real problems that are relevant. Like, they don't feel like side quests the way that other games have had side quests. Like, you have lots of stuff that you have to do to get up to a certain level because they don't want you to play through the game so quickly. But that mechanic is almost hidden in Horizon Zero Dawn because I just want to be exploring and I want to be helping, which is not something I've found. Like, I can't even remember the last game that has actually made me feel like this.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
And none of the side stuff feels like fetch questy or like, ugh, like I got to do one of these quests. You know, it's all... Mm-hmm. It all feels real natural, and it, you know, you were going to go there anyway. I was going that direction anyway, so I might as well stop here along the way and
take a screen
grab, handle this situation, save or whatever. This person. Yeah, exactly. Screen grab along the way a few times. Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and so I feel like, I guess, just to wrap this up with talking a little bit about the side quest before we kind of wrap up the show. I feel like at least as far as I've gotten in the story so far, it feels much more like, instead of kind of like a straight line from start to finish with like these little things off to the side that I have to do, I very much feel like I almost don't even know what the main storyline is. I thought at one point I was pursuing the main storyline, but then it turned out that that was actually a side quest. And so it almost feels like this like branching tree that you can kind of almost choose your own path. And then eventually you're probably going to end up in the same sort of an area, but the side quest design is so well done that, like I said, I didn't even realize that I wasn't on the main story. Like, it was so important, and the stuff that I was doing was just so key to my tribe that I didn't realize that it wasn't where I was supposed to be necessarily. So I think that they've just they've created a very lived-in world, and I didn't get a chance to actually play any more today. All my playtime was yesterday. And I can't wait to hang up. I love you guys. I think you're great, and thank you so much for being on the show. But I can't wait to hang up because I just want to go and play more.
No, what am I doing here right now?
Exactly.
Whoa, you're trying to convince me to buy it.
You're eating into precious gaming time is what you're doing.
I know. Oh, I agree. I put Caden to bed, and it's like, well, time to prepare for the show. It's like, oh, damn. But no, this is doing me a favor because it's honestly, it's like the amount of time that we can spend discussing this game, it's less time I'm going to have to accidentally buy it before playing Legend of Zelda. But I it's something I really want to play. It's a game that will probably be special in this year for me, just because, you know, it's not very often we get to play a game so celebrated from a company that made Killzone 1, 2, 3, and Shadowfall. So not to say Killzone's a bad series or anything, but it's interesting to see someone, a team, go from Killzone, the Halo killer for Sony, to basically this much celebrated game. And it just kind of shows what happens when you give a developer just freedom to make the game that they want to make. Now, maybe they wanted to make Killzone, but Killzone always felt like, let's make our Halo, you know, let's let Guerrilla Games make something that they truly really want to make, not just another faceless first person shooter. It sounds like this game has a soul, which is fantastic because we don't get many games like that these days. I really appreciate both of you just, you know, talking about this for a half hour, because honestly it sounds like an amazing game. It sounds like it's living up to the reviews.
Have we convinced you? That's really what it comes down to. Have we convinced you?
You've convinced
you need
me
to buy this game.
You may not have convinced Sony, because they actually won't let me check out and actually purchase it. So I don't know. Evidently, being live,
but
on
you're
Twitch,
trying. You're
I'm trying. Trying. I'm trying. And technically, I will use every moment I have this evening to download and play it before the Switch arrives. supposedly. So
yeah, you won't get the Switch until late next week. So
come on now, I
have time to play.
I really do want to play the Switch this weekend. If I promise I'll do both, will you please stop cursing me?
I hate to just totally burst your bubble, but it's not coming, right?
Damn it.
You should just get over it now.
No,
it's crazy that we're getting like all these huge games like all at once. Like, you know, there's Horizon, and then you've got Breath of the Wild, and then like only a month later we're going to get Mass Effect. I know I'm not going to be done with this game in a month. I don't know what know what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to have to like put this aside in order to play Mass Effect, because I am not waiting on Mass Effect either, you know?
Yeah, it's a really stacked next like 4 weeks, because there's just so much happening. We've got also obviously Hearthstone is coming out with their new expansion coming up soon, and oh man, yeah, for some reason March, it's just, it's going nuts. So
March
but
is always Horizon's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so that's true. So Matt, do you have any last thoughts on Horizon Zero Dawn before we wrap up our chat?
I would really quickly, I do want to mention, because I don't think I really talked about it, is the bow mechanic itself, I think, is super fantastic. My favorite video game weapon is the bow, but it always sort of feels like a secondary weapon, or, you know, it has like a very specialized use. You can use it to, you know, kind of sneak around and take guys out real silently, but if you ever get in a situation where you start to get overwhelmed, the bow is a terrible thing to have in your hands. Mm-hmm. And in this game, like, they do a really great job of making you feel like, making the bow feel powerful, but also making it feel like it's easy to aim, it's easy to kill things with it, you know. And I don't know what is different about this game than previous games, but even a game like Tomb Raider, where you use a bow a lot, it always felt a little difficult, a little unwieldy or a little difficult, especially when you get in like a real big firefight, to have that bow in your hand. But in this one, you can move quickly, you can shoot things easily. There's some variations in types of ammo you can use, and you can easily access that stuff. It's just, it's real clean, and it's a really awesome weapon to have in this game, and it's cool, just cool all around.
Cool.
I wonder if that does come a little bit out of their experience with Killzone, because I mean, they did have so many different types of weapons and all the rest of it, and if they're used to designing weapons for shooters, I imagine that makes it a little bit easier than if you are coming from like an RPG design background sort of thing. Like, if they already know how lots of different weapons shoot, then it should be fairly easy to then put a bow skin over top of that.
Yeah, and I don't want to sell Killzone short, because one thing that series did very well was create interesting and well-designed gunplay. Just, it didn't feel like the game really had much of a story or you know, a soul. And I'm not trying to be mean, it sounds really mean, but it's just, when you go from Killzone to Horizon, it's just a huge jump, and it's awesome to see the developers doing something like this, trying something new. And I wouldn't be opposed to them going back to Killzone, but it would be interesting to see them take what they've done here and apply it to their future projects, because this just feels so different from what they've done previous. So
yeah, and we get so many first person shooters, it's really great when we get something else. You know what I mean?
Very much so.
And a game like this, that's an open world game, it just takes so long to produce a game like this, and to produce it and to have it at a level of finish and polish that in a post Witcher 3 world that we are going to expect from now on. Like, it's really good to see a company like get an opportunity to make a game like this and for it to be as good as it is. So
cool.
So yeah, Ryan and everyone out there, definitely buy it.
Okay, I will play it for the next 2 hours.
If you have a PlayStation, it is unfortunately a PlayStation exclusive. So anyone who doesn't have a PlayStation is out of luck. But this might be, if you still don't have a PlayStation and have been looking for an excuse, this might be the reason, because it is that good.
Yep.
I just wanted to take a moment now and thank our patrons. You can hit us up. Over at patreon.com/thegamersin. We have new pledge levels, we have new goals, we have all kinds of new fun stuff, including a $10 pledge level where you can request a game. If you have a game in mind that you want us to play, then with that reward level, you can get all of our normal perks, but then also the ability to tell us what to cover on the show. We're going to do our best to cover the games as long as we have the platforms to play them on, which, you know, don't request a Switch game for the next week or so.
Okay. You're digging. Why? You must really love Horizon. Just Best Buy, it's fine. Hold on to it. I want to finish this first, is what you're saying.
Well, I am glad I have Horizon. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no. I'll have my amiibos. I'll do a little like vignette, like, hey, I'm Zelda. No, don't do that. That's why they don't put voice acting in that game.
We also do have an ad this week from Simon, so thank you so much again for supporting us over on patreon.com/thegamersin. He wants to make sure that you guys know about Geekly News Desk. It's a podcast all about the geeky news of the week. You can join your two knucklehead hosts, Andrew and Simon, as they keep you informed on movies, TV, video games, and books. You can find them on iTunes or at geeklynews.com. So Matt, thank you so much for joining us this week. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the internets?
Yeah, so I've got a podcast with my buddy Adam Huber, who does an awesome webcomic called Bug Martini. Our podcast is Geeks of Steel. You can find it at geeksofsteel.com. And then you can just find me for the next week or couple of weeks just posting screenshots from Horizon over at, on Twitter at Matthew Forkham.
Great. Thank you again so much for joining us. I know it was really awesome to have an artist perspective in particular on this game because it is so pretty. And I absolutely love your little anecdote about walking around looking at the rocks on the side of the road. That is the epitome of artistry I think I've ever heard in a video gamer. So thank you so much for joining us. It was a really great time. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, The Angry Chicken, and For Azeroth. You can find us on Twitter. You can follow me at Joss Plays. Brian is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamersin. The video versions of all our episodes can be found at youtube.com/AmoveTV. And if you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about Horizon Zero Dawn, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. Remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.